Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Derek Wallbank, Washington-based political correspondent. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
I know that you've got one eye turned toward East Lansing and a big football game tomorrow, but we're going to come back to that. I want to talk to you first about this election cycle, and I never thought a Speaker of the House 3,000 miles away would become such a campaign issue in Midwest states, but you see spots running on television talking about how often people have voted with Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, you do. And really the reason for that, Jack, is that Nancy Pelosi is probably the most unpopular Democrat that people know about anywhere. She has that because, you know, she's head of the House. She's easy to, you know, stereotype as being a San Francisco liberal. She actually represents the city of San Francisco and California's 8th district. And it's the time-honored tactic of trying to tie somebody to somebody you don't like. It happened exactly the same way, you'll remember, in 2006 and 2008 when people were tied to George W. Bush when he was extremely unpopular, and they said, ooh, look how many times this person's voted with George Bush, as an example of, see, maybe they've gone Washington and maybe they don't represent our Midwest core values anymore.
Right, right. Well, we certainly see it in the Shower-Wahlberg race here in the 7th Congressional District, and I think somebody is keeping track of all the votes and seeing how often they match up the Nancy Pelosi's as if they are automatically wrong.
And I should add something, Jack. It would be extremely unusual if the percentage of a Democrat voting with their speaker wasn't extremely high.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely unusual. And the reason for that is because there's so many little bitty votes that get taken into consideration.
Right.
If you're talking about somebody who has, say, a 90% voting record with the speaker, that's actually pretty moderate for their caucus. The key thing that you want to look at, if you're really trying to make a decision on is this person too left, too right, too center, whatever, is look at where they fit inside their caucus.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, Mark Schauer has been there for all the big votes for the Democrats.
Yeah.
He has been loyal on all of the big ones that I can recall.
All right. We have a new White House chief of staff, and Pete Rouse wearing the interim tag now.
Mm-hmm.
How important is a White House chief of staff?
Well, he's very important, Jack. And actually, I was over at the White House earlier today. It was really interesting when he was... You know, Rahm Emanuel was a guy, reporters had his cell phone number. He's on first-name basis, very unusual for a chief of staff. It's basically the second highest job in the administration. This is the person in charge of everybody else. When you see Robert Gibbs at the podium speaking on behalf of the president, the chief of staff is his boss's boss. So it's a big, big deal position. Interesting to note that Rouse today, during the goodbye to Rahm party in the East Room, didn't say a word. He didn't get up there, didn't make a speech. He's a very different guy. And while he and Emanuel are very similar policy-wise, I think it's going to have a little bit of a personality shift.
Sure, different style.
Very different. But yeah, very different style-wise.
Yeah. Our guest, Derek Wallbank, Washington-based political correspondent. And I am curious, with all the turnover in this administration, we're only halfway through, and even if you hate Barack Obama, unless something happens that I can't foresee, he's going to be here for another couple of years, probably 27 months, 28 months, he's going to be in office. I am curious how all of this shuffling and musical chairs might affect the state of Michigan, and if you see a position in any way, shape, or form with this administration for Jennifer Granholm.
You know, Jack, I have seen about 7 or 8 different positions for Jennifer Granholm over the course. So Jennifer Granholm won't want to listen to me at all on this because I keep seeing things that have her name on it. But, no, I'll tell you, Granholm has been a friend of the Obama administration, to be sure. the problem is that she's viewed here a little bit like how she's viewed in Michigan. And part of the problem that she had that we heard from insiders after the fact with some of the appointments she was theoretically up for, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Labor, is that she wasn't particularly popular back in the home state, and people didn't necessarily think she'd done a very good job. And the Obama administration was very sensitive to that. And I think that's going to hurt her a little bit. That having been said, she's going to have no trouble finding work. The two governors who came before her, Jim Blanchard and John Engler, are both set with very nice Washington jobs. Engler's the head of the National Association of Manufacturing, and Blanchard does, oh my goodness, I can't think how many events, and works as a sort of insidery guy, helping things out and on a policy front. So even if she's not got something exactly in the administration, she's going to have something. The world is kind of her oyster. And who knows, she may just decide to go teach a class on government at Harvard. It's been done many times before.
All right, I want you to complete this sentence, Derek. Mm-hmm. 2 years from today, Jennifer Granholm will be...
I'm going to take a complete shot in the dark here, Jack. 2 years from now, Jennifer Granholm will have been at least one time on a serious Supreme Court shortlist. And I'll tell you why. Because she carries all the credentials. She's been talked about many times before. But Barack Obama is going to come out of this election with a much more divided Senate. It's going to be much more against him. I don't think Republicans are going to take it. But he's only going to have, let's say, 50 to 54 senators in the D column. And he's going to need someone who's going to be able to appeal more broadly, and particularly who's going to be able to capture the public's imagination as someone mm-hmm. who they kind of like. And Granholm fits that. If he's got 59 votes in the Senate, maybe he can go in a different direction. He can pick someone like Elena Kagan, who's not all that, you know, publicly wonderful.
Right. But all right, with all of the writing that I do for SpartanTailgate.com, probably imprudent for me to do this, but I highly recommend another website. And that is the other side of SpartanSports.com. That is Derek's look at everything off the field, all the behind-the-scenes things, all the real interesting things that a lot of times day-to-day journalism does not cover. Outstanding job with that, Derek. We'll talk to you soon, and I know you'll be watching that game tomorrow.
Exactly. Go State.